From juggling the streets, being a comedian and being in the show business to building a multi-million dollar business, you're about to hear from Daniel Rosen, an amazing, amazing, amazing man and a very dear friend of mine. On the show, we talked about how he was able to overcome all the incredible challenges that he's been through from being homeless as a child and honestly, one of the biggest things that ever happened in his world, which was also one of the best things, is where a bank error ruined his credit rating and devastated his finances. From there, he has gone from a juggler to multimillionaire and a very, very, very happy millionaire now. Welcome, welcome, welcome to my dear friend, Daniel Rosen. You will absolutely love listening up.
Welcome to the show that's redefining success for high achievers globally. This is where you come to hear from high achievers who are making bank, making love, making memories, and who are truly happy. And here's your host, Liz Benny.
Hey, you know, Miss Cabell, Liz Benny back here. Oh my gosh. Are you guys ready for some fun today? I really hope that you are ready for Mr. Daniel Rosen. Hey man, how are you today?
Hey, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
Oh my gosh. Like for those of you listening, you're actually missing out on something because there's so much energy being exuded on this podcast. So maybe go and kind of watch this as well. But if you can't right now, if you're driving, that's absolutely cool. For those of you watching, obviously you can see the energy right now. So we're going to have some fun. For those of you that don't know Mr. Daniel here, he has done some pretty dang cool things in his life. I'm going to ask you a very curly question to start with. Would that be okay with you, Daniel?
Sure.
Nice. Cool. What is the most fun thing that you have done in business in the last 1 year?
In the last 1 year? Well, this was a big milestone. We actually surpassed $50 million in sales. That was pretty exciting.
Mm-hmm. And that was amazing. So that's a really freaking phenomenal thing. Massive congratulations to you. So fun? Was that like a fun thing to get to?
That was fun to discover. I didn't even realize it until we were preparing for a meeting. This is a business that I started from nothing. I was dead broke and built it from zero. Nothing, not a dollar.
Okay. So for those of you listening right now, I wish you could see his hat. Like this guy, Mr. Like, oh, whoopsie daisy, we surpassed $50 million. Like you were like, whoops. It was fun to find out. So a lot of people would have heard you initially and gone, oh, wait, she asked for something fun and you said $50 million in sales. That doesn't sound fun, but how it came about to me, I'm like, oh my gosh, you whoopsie daisied your way to $50 million. Because by the sounds of things, you were doing something that was actually fun for you. Business is fun for you, right?
Oh, it's a lot of fun. Now, there was a lot of years where it wasn't fun, where mm-hmm. it was ugly, where it was really hard, and where it was going backwards. Mm-hmm. The whole gamut. I could tell you the whole story.
Well, I want to know. I actually want to know right now because a lot of people here are either millionaires or wanting to become millionaires. Sure. And ultimately, a lot of the time that people just want to have fun. People want it more happiness, more fulfillment, more joy. And a lot of people think, you know, money is going to be the path to get me there. Now, money is amazing. Money is really fun. I love money. But I want to have a conversation with you about what it was like to build your business. So you talked about it not being fun for a couple of years where it was hard.
Many
years. What was the key pivot? Was there a moment where things shifted? Was it a moment where you woke up and you were like, holy crap, I can do things differently? Or was it a byproduct of just needing to keep going to get to the tipping point?
Oh, no, there were many, many pivotal points. I should tell you the whole story.
Go for it. Let's go.
Wacky story. Okay. Yeah. When I was a kid, I was really into juggling. It's all I would do. And I would juggle like 8 hours a day. I got so good at juggling, I became a world champion juggler.
No, really?
Really? Yeah. Which came in handy. Here, I'll show you. See? Okay. So if you're watching on YouTube,
for those of you listening, he quite literally just juggled and hit the mic. Sorry about that.
I did. Okay. Anyways, so I was so good at juggling, which came in handy because life at home wasn't so good. Yeah. And I ended up leaving home at 13. And I made a living juggling on street corners. That's how I made money to eat. And then I learned that if I could make people laugh, they would put more money in my hat. So that led to comedy. And then that led to a whole life in show business. For 30 years, I was on the road doing comedy, and I did television. I did all kinds of stuff. I did game shows. There was a, I don't know if you know a show, actually there's a version there called The Price is Right.
Yes, I do remember this. So
I was the guy who says, come on down, you know, Liz Benny, you've won a new car. That was me. So I did that. Anyways, a life, it looked like I had a career because I had all kinds of things going on. But what people don't realize is there's always, if you're in show business, there's long gaps between gigs. So I was always living on credit cards and I was always broke, even though it looked like something was happening. And during The Price is Right, that was my longest gig. And I did that for about 10 years. And I managed to buy this little house. And I was so proud of that house. It was a messed up house, but I fixed it up. And I was so proud of that house because I'd finally achieved something. And then a bank error messed up my credit overnight. And I called them and they said, oh, sorry, we made a mistake. We'll fix it. But it caused this whole domino effect on all my other accounts. And they all doubled. And I was between gigs again. And I didn't have money for the double bills. And I almost lost my house. I almost went bankrupt. I almost lost everything. And I was too broke to hire a credit repair company. So I started learning about credit repair. And I started learning about how the credit system hurts people and preys on the poor. And it's pretty ugly. You know how you, if you have a credit card, how you get, if you handle it well, you get free flights and things. Uh-huh. Well, it's the poor people who can't pay their bills and pay the higher fees and penalties, they're paying for your free flights, which is, that's pretty disgusting. It's nice if you're getting the free flights, but it's the poor subsidizing the rich. So anyways, it's a whole ugly system. And I dove into this rabbit hole and I learned all the rules about credit and the law, and I repaired my own credit. And during the process, I kept seeing how repetitive the work was because it's a lot of phone calls and letter writing and keeping track of everything. And I kept looking for software and there wasn't any. And that's when I thought, aha, I found my way out of show business. Because by then I was kind of unhappy with show business. Mm-hmm. And I felt trapped because I didn't know how to do anything else. I didn't really go to school. So I didn't think I was capable of anything else, but I got really, really good at credit repair. And I saw that there was a need for credit repair software. So I set out to create it, and I didn't know anything about coding or business or anything. And it took me years and years and years till I made this little tiny download that people could buy for $20 and they could repair their own credit. And I thought it was an infomercial product. And it took me about 5 years to be able to launch this thing. And then it was like crickets. No one cared. Nobody bought it. In a good week, I could maybe make $80. It was a really terrible business. But I kept thinking it was going to work. And even though it wasn't working, I kept banging my head against the wall trying to make it work. For about 10 years with this failed business. Yeah. I just believed in it so much, but it was such a terrible business. But something interesting happened. Professionals, mortgage brokers and realtors and people who sell some high ticket item like solar for your house, they all depend on customers that have good credit. So they're turning away most of the people that come to them. So they started asking for bigger versions. And that's when I realized, oh, it needs to be for businesses. It needs to be a subscription because this was like $20 and then I'd never see them again. And it cost me more than $20 to get that customer. So I knew it had to be a subscription because I'd always heard the way to make wealth is by making money while you sleep. Mm-hmm. And I thought that was what I was going to have in show business with residuals and things like, but that's a lie. That never happens. So that was always in the back of my head. So I knew it had to be a subscription. I knew it had to be for businesses. I knew it had to be hosted online. They didn't call it the cloud quite yet. But I ended up going to investors and doing a pitch and trying to get them to invest. And they all said no. And then can I use any language on this?
You can be raw, real, and honest. Go for it.
I no one would help me. No one would invest. I didn't have a dollar. And I just thought, fuck it. I'm not going to leave this room until I figure it out. And I sat in a room for about 3 years. I didn't bathe. I didn't shave. I didn't brush my teeth. I didn't sleep hardly. And I just slowly bootstrapped this software from nothing. Wow. And it started to get some traction and people started to sign up. And I thought, okay, this is going to be great now. This is going to be so much easier because I've done the hard part. But then I had to deal with customers. And I had no experience with that. And I was wearing all the hats. I was Phil on sales. I was Tammy on support. I had a little picture of me as a girl with blonde pigtails.
I've had Tammy. Sarah in support too, by the way. I literally have done that.
That's awesome. Well, I wasn't very good at support. People hated Tammy. I'd get support tickets that said, Tammy is a bitch. You got to fire her. And they didn't know it was me. So I'm doing everything myself and sleeping even less and less and less. And the stress of it, I put on over 100 pounds and I started hating the customers. And it was really an ugly, dark place. Here I had finally built my dream. And it was so horrifying and scary and more difficult than I ever imagined. And it wasn't growing. I got lucky. Have you met Keenan? Keenan's worked with me for many years. I think you've met Keenan. Mm-hmm. Keenan was in high school and I met him on Google. He was doing tech support for $4.95 for 15 minutes. He had a little tie. He looked like he was about 12 and I paid $4.95. And he solved my problem. I had a little tech problem and he solved it in less than a minute. And then I said, hey, we got 14 minutes left. I paid you for 15 minutes. We got 14 left. I want to tell you about me because I want you to work for me. And he became employee number one. Wow. And he started giving me advice. Mm. And I'm thinking, why is this kid giving me advice? And then I started to follow the advice and we started growing the company. And first thing he did was get me to start hiring people. And we've now hired 90 people. We have a huge operation. And that enabled me to offload everything to other people, which was very difficult. That was traumatic in itself. But now each time I'd offload something, I'd have more of the ability to actually see where we were going and make strategic decisions. And that was very, very difficult, but it helped. And so the more it helped, the more I wanted to do that. And now we have this massive team. And I realized I wasn't liking the customers because I was doing support poorly. I was not good at it. When I turned things around and fell in love with the customers, then that's when the business took off.
Oh,
yeah.
So it sounds like to me, you were like, wow, what an incredible story. I need to ask you a very important question before I ask you the other question. Have you had a shower since then? Like, I mean,
No, I have, I never had a morning routine and I made that part of my morning routine. I get up, I bathe, I shower, I brush my teeth, and I walk to work. And that's how I lost that weight.
Oh my gosh. Wow. 3 years. 3 years of solitude working that out. I love that. And it sounds like you got to a point where you were like, something's gotta give. And Keenan was a key pivotal shift in and you seeing things differently. Often I find that we as entrepreneurs, we have a lot of ahas when we go, wow, I can see differently because I get to see through the eyes of someone else.
Right.
It sounds like Kenan was a key pivotal person. Who else in your life has been one of those people that has helped you get to, you know, you've made millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And a lot of people will look at that and go, if only I could just, like, your results will be up on people's vision boards right now. Because not only are you know, doing something that you absolutely adore and love and is now fun, and you're sitting there nodding your head with an amazing hat. I need one of those hats. They look amazing.
I'll like send when one. I said,
those
it's
of you that
logo, it's cloudy.
I know it's cloudy. Like it's for those of you listening right now, he's got his logo is like this happy cloud. And it's on his hat right now. It's absolutely amazing. So you've gone from where you were, you went through the trials and tribulations. By the sounds of things, you had this unshakable faith in yourself that you would find an answer. And it did probably cost you some things that weren't ideal because your health did go a little bit.
Yes.
Did you have a partner at this time?
Did what?
Did you have a partner at this time?
Oh yeah. I can't believe she stuck with me. Great.
I was going to say, I mean, no showering and no brushing of the teeth. Like, yeah. Hello.
I was busy.
Yeah.
But she stuck with me. She saw that she believed in my vision.
That is amazing. That is absolutely beautiful. So what were the other points where so Kenan was one of those points where you got to see through the eyes of others. Yeah. You look like you want to say
finding mentors.
There we go.
The 10 years that I was going in circles and going backwards and nothing was working. Mm. I was so arrogant. I thought I knew everything. Mm-hmm. And Grace would say, you should meet with other people who have businesses. And I'd go, nobody has a business like mine.
And, there we go.
And then I realized later, finally falling into, Kenan had read .com secrets and expert secrets from Russell. Uh-huh. And we got into the whole Russell world. Mm-hmm. And for those, does everybody in your audience know who Russell is? Russell Brunson?
Some of them may not know, but a lot of people will know Russell. Yeah.
Okay. I think the greatest marketer in the world. We got his two books, .com secrets and expert secrets.
I think I'm in the expert secrets one.
You are.
As well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you're in both. But anyways, that finally was the giant light bulb. Oh, here's how you market. Here's how it's supposed to work. Mm-hmm. Here's how you know, we created a value ladder and all that stuff in there, started doing webinars. It was life-changing. We got in Russell's inner circle. And then so we're still in inner circle, but through inner circle, we met Alex Sharfin, who taught us business structure. Mm-hmm. And that was equally important because when I first met Alex, I was still in the support tickets. I was still being Tammy and stressed out all the time.
I want to ask you a pivotal question here because a lot of people right now will be at the point of like, oh, look, I love the idea of marketing. Expert Secrets, .com Secrets. Yay, cool. And then when they hear another thing that they have to do in order to be successful, sometimes it can be like, oh, don't tell me that I need to build a team. The person who you were before building a team and the person who now is the leader of, you know, a team of people, like you've got 90 employees and you're doing the fun thing at the top. You get to do what you want for the most of the time, like say yes to podcasts like this.
Oh, yeah.
So who were you back then before you became the leader that you are now?
Oh, I was stressed out all the time. I was in pain. I was 100 pounds overweight. Uh-huh. I was not sleeping.
And what were your beliefs? I'll guide this a little bit better. What were your beliefs about who you needed to be in business?
My beliefs were, I'm the only one who knows how to do this.
Ah.
But over a long period of time of hiring, I started learning how to hire people smarter than me. Mm. Or better. And when you're doing everything, you're just dabbling at everything. Mm. Now, if I hire somebody to do marketing or to do some other piece, they wake up in the morning and that's their whole focus. And so there's no more dabbling. Mm. So we've grown so much faster from that. But also, if you try to do everything yourself too long, you kill yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you kill yourself financially, you kill yourself spiritually, you kill yourself emotionally, you kill yourself, and you burn out. You just burn out in so many different areas.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
So that has been amazing. So I'd say those are the two things, learning marketing from Russell and learning business structure from Alex Sharfin, who we're still very involved with.
Two amazing men. That's really, really, really cool. And I'm connected, obviously, with both of them. Alex Sharfin and I were texting back and forth just yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, what a dude. What an amazing man. So what are you most proud of?
What I'm most proud of is the people we serve. First of all, we're a very diverse company.
Mm.
I'm very proud of that. Our customers, very diverse. I'd say 80% are people of color and people from marginalized communities, people coming from nothing, just like me. We have 46 people using our software have become millionaires.
What?
When they become a millionaire, we just like with ClickFunnels, we give them a big award and then we have a whole wall of smaller awards, and 46 people have become millionaires. And many of those people, like me, at one point I was homeless when I was juggling on the street corners as a kid. Many of them were homeless. They tell me these stories of they were sleeping in their car, sometimes with kids, sometimes with babies. And now they have million-dollar businesses. And I'm really, really proud of that. And I really feel like we do change lives and we help our customers to change lives. In fact, because through that, we of course have a mission, but we've built this giant movement. And I think it's the movement that grew the company the most. And I think creating a movement is the most important thing, because if you create a movement, then no competitor can match you.
There we go. What is your secret? Because what is your secret to building a movement? And the reason why I'm asking this is the amazing Lauren Golden. She's gone from nothing, and she came up through the Ultimate Kapow program, and she was up on stage at Funnel Hacking Live. And, you know, it's been amazing to watch her journey from where she was to now where she is. And she is leading a beautiful movement. One of the key things that I said to her is, like, really lean in and build up your movement. It is your custom. It is the people that start to love you. This family, build a family. And she has got this following where if she ever gets, you know, people asking, her customers answer the questions in her group now. She's like, hands off. She's like, look at what I built. And I know that experience myself with Social Monkey Business and coming up. It's like, wow, it's amazing. But I think what I know is that each of us as entrepreneurs have different ways that we build movements based on what our own expertise are, based on how we flow. What's your secret for how you built a credit hero movement? Which some people might go, dang, that's a bit dry, isn't it? But you've built a movement.
Well, I make it fun.
There we go.
You know, and I make it simple. It's about credit and the law, and that seems dry and boring, but I make it simple. I make it fun, and everyone has a mission. And this is where the show business part comes in.
Yeah.
So to me, the whole thing feels like I'm producing a show. I don't know business, but I know show business. And so it's all putting on a show, and I'm telling people what their character is that they're going to play. And they love it. They each get a shirt. They know who they are. They've got an identity. They've got a mission. And the mission is about changing lives.
Oh my gosh. I adore this. I remember when I first started working with Russell, I was one of his, you know, the first people that came through the inner circle.
Yes.
And I remember my very first meeting with him, and he said, right, Liz, I've got the plan. And I was thinking of doing, you know, CPA marketing or affiliate marketing or becoming a super affiliate. And, you know, doing all of these things because I was spent, I was done with being a social media manager myself. Like, I could do it for other people left, right, and center, but I was bored. I needed a new challenge. I felt kind of tapped out with that. Mm-hmm. I remember my first call with him, and he said, Liz, you need to build an online program and teach people how to become social media managers. And in that moment, my heart about died. I was like, more social media? Really? Now, what he knew that I didn't know was that there was a massive need for that. Period. Like, he'd seen Ryan Dice launch Let's Get Social, and he was like, look, there's a buyer's market here. This is amazing. Like, there's fruit over here. There's money on the table, whatever way you want to say that.
Sure.
But what I remember is going, if this is right, if this is the right strategy here, I need to be able to find me in this and be me in this, or else it will not work. So there is this exuding energy, the kapow energy that comes through me. And if I couldn't bring Liz Benny to that table, I personally had no right to be at that table. It was not my, it was somebody else's table.
Yeah.
So I basically made Social Monkey Business a motivational how to become a social media manager program. And that's how I chose to be able to be me, which by the sounds of things, like, you've taken credit repair and the show business of Daniel and made this multi-million dollar business. This is amazing.
But it's all driven by stories and my own personal stories of being broke, of being messed up with credit, about, you know, being in trouble, about having the whole time I'm building Credit Repair Cloud in that room, Bank of America was calling me every morning, terrorizing me.
Wow.
And
how did you sort that out? How did you keep going in the face of that?
I'd gone beyond the point of no return. There was no way out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So burned the boats of giving a shit about what people thought, and you just needed to keep going by the sounds of things.
Exactly. But the storytelling, that's really... such an important part of being able to get them to follow you in the movement. They have to relate.
Yeah, I love that. So for people who are scared of telling their story because I'm not a good enough storyteller, or I don't know how to do this thing, or I'm scared of getting on the camera, for the people that just heard you and go and went, oh no, in order to be successful, I need to tell stories.
Yes.
I'm not a good storyteller. What do you say to them?
Do it anyways. Do it every single day, even if no one's watching at first. Go live. Mm-hmm. Just do it again and again and again. There's a gym up the street who my friend Siavash owns, and he just got his 2 Comma Club Award. And it's the tiniest little gym. It's in an abandoned gas station. It's the most amazing thing. He comes from Iran. He came to America. He came to America on a fake passport. And when the plane landed in America, they said, everybody stay seated, except you, get up. And he spent his first year here in America in federal prison because they thought he was a terrorist. Anyways, he didn't know English at the time. Mm-hmm. And finally he got his English good enough to where he could start this gym from nothing. And that's when I met him. And that's when I told him, you got to start telling your story, the story about prison and everything. It's amazing. And he was so scared. And I just kept saying, did you make a video today? Did you make a video today? And he started doing it. Now he's amazing. He's amazing. And now he has the most successful small gym in America.
Oh, wow. What a story.
Yeah.
What a story.
And now he loves being on video and telling his story. He sees the value of it.
So I think people love a really, really, really good hero's journey.
Yes.
So you've told us about the 3 years where you didn't bathe and you didn't brush your teeth and your significant other stayed with you during that period of time, had a lot of faith in you. You had a lot of faith in yourself. And the funny thing is that I would just like to probably interject myself, and say that the reason why your significant other probably believed in you so much is because you believed in yourself so much too. You had so much conviction in what you were doing. But let's kind of dance in a little bit of a different arena now. Have you ever gone to different areas of darkness? Have you ever needed therapy? Have you ever turned to drugs or alcoholism, or has anything ever taken you where you've had to return back from such, you've been in a state of darkness where you've turned to things that perhaps haven't been the best for you?
Never drugs or alcohol, but definitely I've fought with depression.
Mm.
And my drug is burying myself in the computer and in work.
Wow. There you go.
Yeah. Wow. So, I mean that whole time, and it was 2 different sets of 3 years doing that. It was 3 years in not leaving the room to make the little download, and then another 3 years to build Credit Repair Cloud. And those were dark, dark times. So yeah. I think I worked so hard around the clock because I was so depressed, but I also had this belief.
Yeah. So you had a deep rooted belief, but you were finding yourself in like deep depression, and your drug at the time was just keep going. Yes. Would you change anything about how you did anything?
I think about that a lot.
Would you have hired a mentor sooner? Would you have, what would you have changed, if anything?
I wish I had hired people sooner. I wish I had talked to other business owners. Now I love talking to other business owners. Mm. I mean, through all of this, I learned that all businesses are the same, no matter what you're selling. Mm-hmm. But because what I did was so massive, I think it's the only way to do it. Russell sometimes talks about you have to go unbalanced sometimes to push a boulder up a cliff to do something big, and then be normal again after that.
100% agree with that. Like, I've recently gone through a big period of like just walking away from stuff that is not for me anymore. And that's okay. But it feels a little bit like, and then to create something that feels so right and true and real. And so I love that. Being unbalanced is not necessarily a bad thing.
Right. Yeah. And then the other time that I went through depression was after I offloaded everything onto other, we have these 90 people. So I was able to, everything I do, Alex Sharfman has this saying, no one is a unicorn or something like that. Mm-hmm. You're not a unicorn. And so you're supposed to hand off everything. And once I handed everything off to where I was in this space that he calls the passenger seat, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
Because I was so addicted to the drama and the putting out fires and the doing everything.
So
and
your then, identity was wrapped up in being the person that solved the big problems.
Oh yeah. And sometimes I'd create the big problem so I could solve it. But I was really putting out fires all day and things I didn't need to be involved in. But once I got all that off my plate, I didn't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I would come into work and Keenan's in the office next to me and he'd see me come into my office, but I wasn't really working. I didn't know what to do. I would be playing on Facebook, sort of pretending to work, going, wow, I'm so depressed. And this lasted for months until that's when I found the right things to be doing to really lead the company and move it.
There we go. So that depression allowed you to, I guess, say, look, I'm not that anymore, but I don't really know exactly where I'm going. So by the sounds of things, you needed to find new purpose, new fulfillment, something else that was going to light you up.
Yes.
And how much of that was needing to form a new identity?
Oh, none of it was a new identity, but I knew, but that gave me the space to really be out front for our customers and to really be the face of the business and to make more videos and to write. And that's what I come in and do every day now is make videos and write.
Isn't that beautiful? So you make content. So you've actually reached the point where most people think I have to make content in order to do it. And now you get to play with content, which some of the time people go, well, content is not actually making money. Making money is the funnels, is the ads, is this, but you're in a different part of your business right now, right?
Right. I'm making the content to move and grow the movement.
There we go.
100%. Yeah. Although in the early days, I wrote a lot of content. Those years that I was just in the room and not bathing and stuff and not sleeping. I was writing all night, every night because I didn't understand advertising. I didn't know how to advertise. So I just thought, screw it. I'll just write every night. Yeah. And I wrote so much content that later on that became this big fishing net from SEO.
Gosh, isn't that beautiful?
I didn't
even
know what I was doing.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is amazing. So there are people sitting here or watching this right now, driving, listening to this right now. They are probably incredibly inspired with your story. It's just been so beautiful. Is there part of your story that you haven't yet told out there in the world that you're like, man, I would love to let everyone know this part of me?
I really enjoy helping other businesses. Mm. And I think that's where we may move into as a company.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's our goal. When we hit 100 million, we're going to start helping other businesses, maybe financially. Mm-hmm. I Keenan's got that part worked out. I don't care about the money, but I helped my friend Sivash with his gym, and that was really great. And other people have come to me with advice. Although he's the only one that actually does the things. Uh-huh. And then you know what it's like. You give someone asks for advice, but then they don't ever follow it. He follows it and the business grows. And I get such a kick out of that. I want to do more of that. I'm doing that with my own customers in our little Credit Hero world, but mm-hmm. I'd love to do that. We're planning. We bought a business here in Venice, a building here in Venice Beach. And we're about to build a second floor that's got an event space, and it's going to have a stage. And I want it to be the focal point for the tech industry here. Where we live, there's about 1,000 tech startups within a mile of us, mm-hmm. but there's no place cool to hang out or to learn.
Yeah.
And so that's really where I want to go.
Oh, that sounds very, very, very exciting. I'm so excited for you. I'm so excited for everyone that gets the opportunity to be a part of that as well. It sounds amazing. So what I want to do, Mr. Amazing, right now is take you through some Spitfire questions. We're just going to have a little bit of fun with that, and we'll wrap up here in a second. How does that sound, Mr.?
Great.
Awesome, awesome, awesome. So the goal of this is for you to just answer it as fast as humanly possible. What was the last thing that you bought?
Sushi.
And why?
I was hungry half an hour
ago. There we go. I love that. Your top three movies.
Godfather.
Uh-huh.
Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Woo! Uh-huh.
And I can't think of a third.
There we go. I love the fact, you know, a lot of people are like, they make it to two. They're like, at three, they're like, I'm stumped. Maybe I'll change that question to two. So who has most positively impacted your life?
Alex Sharfin.
There we go. What an amazing man. Mm-hmm. I'm going to text him straight after this and say, dude, you got the biggest shout out. This is amazing. So what is your favorite subject to talk about?
Having passion in your business.
There we go.
You know, if you set out to make money, sure, you'll make money, but your business probably won't grow very far and you won't have a very fulfilling life. But if you really have a passion for what you do and for helping your customers and for changing lives, that's when you're going to have the biggest success. That's when you're going to feel the best. And the money just comes.
There we go. I love it. I absolutely love it. So what was your very first job? Was it the juggling job?
Juggling on the street corners.
There we go.
Make money to eat.
Yeah. We all kind of need to eat, right? What are the three greatest gifts that you share with the world?
I don't know.
That was three words. I mean, let's just leave it there then. I don't know.
How about enthusiasm?
There we go. I agree with that 100%.
There we go.
Enthusiasm, positivity, and I would say right now for many people listening and watching, hope.
Yes. Yes, hope.
Okay. So if any actor could play you in a movie, who would it be?
Paul Rubens.
Oh, wow. And what was your subject? What was your favorite subject at school?
I didn't really go to school.
There we go.
Yeah, I juggled. I mean, I got PE credit for juggling. I never learned sports. And that's pretty much all I did at school until I left.
Do you know what I want to do? I literally want to learn how to juggle now. I'm like, I just want to learn how to juggle to engage the right and the left brain. I'm going to do that. I'm going to learn how to juggle.
Cool.
You are my juggle hero. This is amazing. So what would be your last meal request?
Shabu shabu.
Oh, there you go.
You know what that is?
No.
Oh, it's a Japanese dish. You get a plate of sliced raw beef, vegetables, mushrooms and things, and then a pot of boiling water and then really cool sauces. And you cook everything yourself, cool it off in the sauce.
Oh, I love that. It's like hot pot, Chinese hot pot.
Yes, that's it.
Oh, I love it. Oh, I love, 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 love it. Okay, so next questions here. I've got two more. What is the best place that you've ever traveled to?
I've been everywhere. So my favorite place is home. Wow. I traveled for over 30 years nonstop.
There you go.
So home. But I mean, I love a place with an island or beach. Mm-hmm. I love Europe.
New Zealand's an island. I'll see you here soon.
I've never been there. I want to go.
Wow, you haven't been everywhere. Let's do a mastermind down in New Zealand. It'll be fun.
Cool. I'm there.
Definitely. Okay, so last question here is, you have $1 million. It's in your hands right now. You have to give it away. You have to do something with that $1 million. Who do you give it away to and why?
Homeless. There's an organization called Chrysalis. We give a lot of money to. They help homeless people into jobs and to keep jobs.
Oh, there we go. That's beautiful. What I love when I ask that question is a lot of people take the $1 million and they don't just like give it away to a person. It's always an incredible cause. And what I find a lot with entrepreneurs is they say, I don't want the money to just be given away. I want it to have an impact beyond the giving of it. So I really, really love that. So we're coming up to the end here.
Okay.
My final question for you is, there is a person listening to this right now that needs to hear a message of hope from you. They are probably listening right now going, hey, this is me. What's on your heart to say to the person who perhaps doesn't believe in themselves? They want a fulfilling career. They want to make this business thing work. They're feeling a little broken right now. What say you to them?
Do they have an idea what their business is?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Well, don't reinvent the wheel. Model success. Find someone who's doing something similar or even another business that kind of works the same way or you know, is similar, and find the most successful person doing that thing that's similar to what you do and model success. Do what they're doing. Don't go 10 years like I did, going in circles and going backwards and being frustrated and stressed
and unbathed.
Yeah, and unbathed. And brush your teeth.
Yeah, brush your teeth. We're gonna end this right now on the concept of brushing your teeth. How do people find out about you, Mr. Amazing?
Oh, our site is creditrepaircloud.com.
That's a wrap, folks. Liz and the Kapow team hope you've loved this episode of the Happy Million Show. Please help us to spread this mission far and wide by leaving us a 5-star review with an amazing comment, and be sure to subscribe so you're notified with future episodes. We've got some incredible guests lined up for you to hear from to help you build both a business and a life you absolutely love. Full of fun, freedom, family time, friends, fulfillment, fitness, and other ifs. You can fill in the blank. Subscribe now, and for your daily cup of kapower, head over to lizbenny.com. Come on, you know you want to.